Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
How are you doing? Can you hear me? Thumbs up if you can hear me. Hello, Luca. Got to say hello to him. Guys, just quickly, Ben Lindsay is a great guy, really filled with the Spirit, really powerful man of God. Do not miss that in January. That is definitely one to not miss. Okay, well, today's message is about making disciples who make disciples. And through today's messages, through myself, through Adam and through Colin, we want to encourage you guys to start being disciples who make disciples. Now, discipleship is a lifestyle filled with relationships, and it's about yourself pouring yourself out into others. Making disciples is not a bucket list for a Christian, but it's the responsibility of every Christian, because Christianity, guys, without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. Now, I want to show you the practical ways that we as a community can learn how to be like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did. And the discipleship of others in our church has a three-dimensional nature to it. The first one starts with you. It starts with your relationship with God. It's an upward dimension where it's your relationship with God. You know God and you start to understand what the Father's heart is, and you're in relationship with God. The second dimension is an inward dimension, where in that relationship, God is now pouring into you His Spirit, His culture, His fruits, His fire. And then the final dimension is, after God has poured His Spirit and His kingdom into you, you then do the outward dimension and bring God's kingdom out into every area of your life. And this is how we as a church develop leaders that leads to a multiplication of disciples in our church. And it has the means of delivering pastoral care and personal transformation that for those that need significant breakthrough in their lives. And we're going to open the Bible and look at the story of Lydia in Acts 16 from verse 11. And just to give you a quick insight from Acts, so this is where the disciples have now left Jesus. They're going around the world proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news. And this is where God broke through into Europe. And we're going to read from verse 11. It says this: "We boarded a boat from Troas and sailed straight across to the island of Samothrace. And the next day we landed at Neapolis. From there we reached Philippi, a major city of that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went on a little way outside the city to a riverbank where we thought people would be meeting for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who were gathered there. One of them was Lydia from Tyre, a merchant of expensive purple cloth who worshipped God. And as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She and her household were baptized and she asked us to be her guests. 'If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my home.' And she urged us until we agreed." So already there we meet Lydia. She is already a worshipper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying to her. And the Bible does say that. Jesus said it in Matthew 11, verse 15. "Those who have ears to hear will hear." And this is the start of her walk. This is how she grew to be a disciple of Jesus and how she then went on to teach others about Jesus. And I want to look at three points to help us as a church from Lydia's story, to help us be disciples who make disciples. And the first point is this. Now, although Lydia was an obscure woman and a humble woman, it was through her open heart that God passed into Europe. Now, she was a native of Tyre and a seller of purple cloth. She was a businesswoman. She worked hard, but her name would not have hit the headlines of the Holy Scriptures had it not been for God's gracious dealings with her in 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 26, when it says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God delights in choosing ordinary people and using them for his glory. So the significant thing for us to notice here is that when God wanted to enter into a new continent so that multitudes of people would be saved, he chose Lydia as that channel through whom he would work, just as he chose William Carey when he wanted the message of the gospel in India, just like he chose David Livingstone when he wanted to demonstrate his power in Africa, and just like he's chosen Clive and Debbie and us to advance God's kingdom into Islington and London and beyond. Lydia's opened heart was the vantage point for a forward movement for the gospel in Europe. And I want you guys to really think about this. What can God do with one life if he gains complete control of it and it is yielded to him? Are you ready to open your heart to God and give him full control so that he can break through into every area of your life, so that he can break through you into Islington, into Hackney, into wherever you're from, even in your workplaces? Are you ready for God to bring breakthrough into your life? The second point is Lydia's faith showed itself in good deeds. Now, she was not saved by good deeds because no one is saved in that way. As we see in Romans 3, verse 20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Now, it is true, however, that faith without deeds is dead, as it says in James 2. And where there is true faith, there will be deeds to demonstrate the reality of that faith. And Lydia's open home was the evidence of her opened heart. Zacchaeus' restitution was the evidence of his conversion in Luke 19. And the jailer, who also gave evidence of his conversion in Acts 16, reading from 33, when it says, at the hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, then immediately he and all of his household were baptized. Lydia loved God, and it allowed for God to change the culture of her spirit, change her heart, which then pours out into people around her. And guys, I will say this, there is no greater reward in life. If you want true happiness in life, start doing good deeds for others and for God. And if you're someone today and you want to get closer to God, start serving him. Ask Clive, ask a leader, where can you serve in church today? There are so many areas that you can really get closer to God and do good deeds for others in our church. The last thing from Lydia's story is that Lydia's one desire was to be faithful to her Lord. And this is clearly stated in verse 15. She longed to be true to the one who has done so much for her. And after being baptized, she opened her home to God's people. Is that your consuming desire? Just to be faithful to God at all costs. I want to finish by looking at Revelations 2, verse 10. It says this, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give your life as your victor's crown. Church, let's start today a new life of discipleship, living every day to the glory of God in front of other people, and also inviting them on that journey with us. Billy Graham said this, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything that we have. Being a disciple means being constantly ready to bring the love of Jesus, and this can happen at any time and at any place. Let's start today in church, in our home groups, in our workplaces. Let's start being disciples who make disciples. Because Christianity without discipleship is Christianity without Christ. And I want to challenge you today. Are you being discipled? Is someone speaking the word of God in your life and helping you on your journey with God? If not, then get into a home group or come alongside a leader and ask, where can I serve? Secondly, is God calling you to disciple someone? Is there someone in your life, someone that God may have placed on your heart right now that God wants you to come alongside and support? Step out of faith and be a disciple. And lastly, if there's an area in the church that you would like to serve in today, let us know. Amen.
Come on, well done, Sam. Let's give a big kind of wave round of applause thing to Sam. Come on, make you want to be a disciple. Okay, next up is a guy who has served us so well in the past. He's led our youth team, our youth groups, and then he now has his own group that he runs during the week. He's a rising star. And you know what I love about him? He's got the Bible in him. He knows his Bible. If you speak to him about any situation in life, he will take you into the Bible to explain how you should deal with it, what you should do. So we're ready and waiting and welcome. Give him a big welcome to Adam Temenu. Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, guys. So I'll be continuing on with the topic of discipleship and the cost. I'll be reading from Matthew 16, verses 24 to 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." So here we see Jesus, who we've given our lives to. When we all accepted Christ, we made him our Lord and Savior. And he wants us to follow him, follow in his footsteps. And we have to be prepared for whatever would come our way in the walk we have. And by doing that, we must... basically practice a certain lifestyle. You know, like we've been told that we need to renew our mind so that we wouldn't be thinking in the same mindset as the world. So renewing our mind, we need to be prayerful. You know, one of the things that I've realized that's really important about being a Christian is prayer. Jesus is in the business of prayer. So we who are to walk with him and be discipled by him, we need to learn to enjoy the things he enjoyed. You know, when we read the Bible, we see examples of how Jesus would get up early and pray and be with the Father. And we too are to do the same, because that is where a lot of our commissioning will come from, a lot of the things that Jesus would have us do. So an interesting example would be, I like to play football quite a bit. And so there are times that I would be asked to come and play for a team and bring a player along as well. Now, I would want to find the best player I can, because if I bring somebody that's not really a good player, then they might drag the team down. And I feel like it's quite similar with spiritual things as well. Jesus wants to train us to a place whereby we're comfortable with praying for long periods of time, because a situation might need it. Because the thing is, Paul talks about how he offers his body a living sacrifice. No, that we should offer our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's our reasonable service as God's people. And also he says, "I die daily." And it occurred to me that Paul dies daily because it's a habit we must all have. Because there will come a time when you will need to put into practice the things you're practicing, the things that you're preparing yourself for, that God is preparing our life for. And if we're not practiced, we might suffer. It's like, let's say I haven't done any running for, let's say, 3 years, and then I'm asked to come and play a football match. when I turn up, it's very likely that I will run out of breath very quickly. So likewise, let's say a situation comes up and I'm required to pray, you know. So I remember this story in the Old Testament. David goes somewhere, and while he goes somewhere, his belongings and his family and everything that belongs to him is taken away. It's like these guys come, they raid him, and then they disappear. Now, his men were really angry with him, and the Bible said that David wanted to stone him. But David now, he requested the ephod, which is like this thing you wear when you want to inquire of God. And David encouraged himself in God, and he sought God, and God spoke to him. Likewise with us, there will be situations when something happens and we need to seek God and get an answer, because without God's input, we'll be in big trouble. Now, if we're not accustomed, if we haven't made a habit of this lifestyle, it could be very costly, and we might have to suffer defeat as a result of not being prepared and ready for what is required. You know, I'd like to use an example as well of Clive, because Clive is the disciple that God has given us primarily to look at. Why? Clive started off as we did. He attended the church. He gave his life to Jesus. He attended the church. He demonstrated himself to be faithful in the little things they gave him charge of. And then now he has been able to graduate to a stage whereby it's like, you know what, Clive, we like your personal culture. Go to Islington and make disciples like yourself, because you can't take somebody further than you've gone. So you will be the limit of the people that you disciple. So he's been asked now to make disciples of us. And I'm also reminded when Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We follow Clive as he follows Christ. He is the example we've been given. And like Sam's been talking about, if we are to make disciples as well of ourselves, we must submit ourselves to the process. Things like prayer, fasting, meditation, confession of the word. These things are very important. I feel one of the things that is missing from the church and Christianity these days, not everyone's missing it, but in general, from what I've heard and people I've spoken to, is the fact that we don't confess the truths that God has said about us. We are his children. And I really believe that if we who call ourselves Christians believe genuinely in our hearts that we are God's children, our lives will be different. Our personal culture will be different. Yeah. You know, it's like one of the ways God showed it to me was the fact that let's say you ask somebody of royalty to do something that was not royal, like it was just beneath the culture they've been given. They'll probably look at themselves and be like, that's not me. I am royalty. And there are things like sin. You know, when we truly grasp the truths of the gospel, we will be like, that's alien. It's not me. I'm a child of God. God's children don't conduct themselves in such a way. So I just want to encourage us that we must carry our cross daily and submit to the Holy Spirit by spending time with him. It's not an airy-fairy ideology. He is a person. He is alive. We can sit with him. And the truth is, he's there. Guys, he's there. But I feel like we need to learn more how to hear God and the way he communicates with us, because God speaks to everybody. Thank you very much.
Oh, well done, Adam. Big round of applause for that. Do you see how he got into his stride then? I'm going to be encouraging him to wave his arms about a bit more, because when he was doing that, he was flowing. Well done, Adam. Some great wisdom there. Okay, we're going to move on to our last one now, who's just oozing out with the presence and power of God. We love him. He's got stories to tell every week, almost as many stories as you have, Tony. But not quite as many. he's a man of God. He loves his word. He loves Jesus. He's constantly praying for people to be well, sick people. And let's give him a big round of applause. It's our Colin Wilkinson. There you go.
Good morning, church. Thank you, Sam, and thank you, Adam. Well, I'm going to carry on this theme of discipleship. And we're going to take a look at how Jesus discipled his followers, mentored his disciples. They walked and talked with Jesus for 3 years. Normal, ordinary, working class people, just like you and me. Fisherman, a tax collector, everyday jobs, just like you and me. But they were also fearful and frightened and afraid, just like me and you. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 4 says this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Before I was born again, before I was a Christian, I have to confess, I have been intoxicated with alcohol quite a few times. And, yeah, I know, it's hard to believe. And I have never, ever spoken a different language while under the influence of drink. That's the truth. So the disciples were not drunk, as they were accused of, too much wine at nine. That was nine in the morning, by the way. That's what they got accused of. In Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water for repentance, and I love this word, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I have a question for you this morning. How much do you want to be filled with Holy Spirit fire? So that you can go and fulfill your great commission in spreading the gospel of Jesus, just like those first disciples. The last verse in the book of Mark is Mark 16, verse 20, and it says this, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. How are you getting on with preaching the gospel? I have two more questions for you. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? But because the disciples were so obedient, their number grew from 12 to 120, and we read 3,000 were added in one day. Now, let's be honest. We would be over the moon with joy if 30 came to Christ in one day. But you know the bit I love best? It says that God added to their number daily. Daily. Now, we know that around the world, Christians are coming to faith every single day. But don't we want that for Islington? Don't we want that for London? Wouldn't it just be so good to have people come to Christ, come to faith every day, right where we are, here in Islington, there in Basildon, there in England? When I first came to the well 7 years ago, I was a Christian, but I was a very long way from God. But in those 7 years, I have been discipled. And the biggest influence on my life is definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, is my pastor, Clive. And there have been lots of others who have discipled me along the way within those 7 years. And I am so thankful and grateful for all of you that have helped me get to this place where I am now. So God has given me a gift of healing. I think most of you know that. I love to do that. But it was only watching and hearing stories from Clive week after week about God had helped him heal this person and that person. And I wanted that. I wanted it so bad that I went out, I stepped out and I started praying for people. And to start with, people didn't get healed. But Clive encouraged me, just keep going, press in. And eventually that gift came. And then later on, I was doing this in church on a Sunday morning, and then it was Angela that said to me, I think God's calling you to do that outside of the church. And that was a big step of faith for me, because I was quite comfortable where I was doing it in church with all of you, but I didn't really want to step out. but now I have, oh my goodness, the joy and pleasure it gives to not only just me, but to the people who are getting healed. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
I typed that in special because I needed to wanted to say that. I highlighted it. But, so, two more questions for you. Do you know this morning what your gifts are? If it's no, then I suggest that you ask. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. But if you do, are you exercising them in the gym of life? Are you working out God's plans for you in your life? That's what we need to be asking ourselves this morning. I want to dock in the harbour and finish with this. We are a church who believes in disciples making disciples. Two more questions. Who is discipling you? And who are you discipling? Who are you building up? Who are you encouraging? Who are you edifying and helping to grow in Christ? That's what we need to be asking ourselves today.